You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to another edition of William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast. Ben Barrett back in the presenter's chair once more. And I'm delighted to say that I've been joined by Will Smith. Will, how are you, sir?
Very good, thank you. Yeah, very good.
You've been part of the William Hill Racing Radio team both yesterday and today. It's been, quite frankly, an astonishing weekend of racing. It's almost a shame that we have a weekend of this quality and then go, but what does this mean for the Cheltenham Festival? Because on its own, this weekend really stands up, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And I think the year, as years go by, I mean, this is the third edition of the Dublin Racing Festival itself, and I'm fairly sure that as years go on, it will become as much about these, you know, two days in their entirety than it will be. And I think I've noticed a slight pattern in that over the last couple of years as well. While we're actually fully in the mix over the last couple of days, there are a few thoughts towards the Cheltenham Festival, but there are so many performances that, I mean, the likes of Chacun Pessoir yesterday, yeah. Notebook, Honeysuckle, you know, real proper grade one races run at real grade one pace, and some cracking finishes, like proper battling qualities shown. And then, of course, who can forget Fawheen as well? I'd say that, you know, if Fawheen doesn't even go to Cheltenham, I don't think people will care, because winning a grade one at the age of 12, a grade one novice chase at the age of 12.
It's fantastic.
It's unbelievable.
And it was a brilliant race, even for the neutral to watch. It was just we've had a couple, actually. We're going to touch on a couple in a moment. Obviously, we should start with the 125, though. A Wave of the Sea, a winner at 12-1 in the spring juvenile hurdle, but that, of course, doesn't tell the story in the slightest.
No, it doesn't. Aspire Tower was a well-backed 1-3 favourite, of course, who attempted to make all under Rachel Blackmore. Most of the race, I imagine, will have gone according to plan for Rachel, and then at the last was sort of upside and joined by Cerberus, and you thought, well, here we go, here's who's going to fight it out and prove the better of the two. And Aspire Tower just, I mean, I haven't properly watched it back again, but just looked like he clipped the top and sort of overbalanced and came down. So real shame for the race. It left Cerberus clear, which in sort of slight contrast actually probably hindered his chances, because he then idled a bit. Whether it looked like it's quite gusty at Leopardstown today, so I wonder if maybe, you know, a big gust of wind hit him down the straight there and just sort of halted his momentum a little bit, and it allowed A Wave of the Sea, obviously stablemate, similarly JP McManus owned horse, and Wolf Prince to sort of rally past him. So bit of a muddling race. Don't really know where I want to fit in the relative merits of each run of those top four, as it were. So I think Aspire Tower, I'd probably suggest that maybe softer ground would help him, ideally. And most of his better form on the flat was on a softer surface. And it probably just helps him. He has a good cruising speed on that soft ground, and it just slows the others down in behind. And he couldn't quite get away from the quality animals that he was trying to make all from on this particular occasion. So I think in hindsight, what it suggests to me is that All Mankind is probably a worthy triumph hurdle favourite on the back of that, because it sort of puts Aspire Tower's form slightly into perspective, really, given that Cerberus was way behind All Mankind at Chepstow. A little bit inconclusive for me, but and a shame for Aspire Tower. Fingers crossed that he's okay and pulls out fine in the morning.
That's really the most important thing. Scooch along to the 155. Asterion Falange won the Chanel Farmer Novices Hurdle 4-1, nudged into 6-1 now for the Supreme Novices Hurdle. What did you make of that performance?
It was visually pretty impressive, wasn't it? He was very good. He was one of two that, again, attempted to make all and set a decent tempo. Him and Easy Work of Gordon Elliott's. I think Easy Work is a horse who he probably ideally wants a bit softer ground as well. So you can potentially forgive him the fact that he was eventually beaten 9.5 lengths behind Asterion Falange. It was a visually impressive performance. Just a bit of context to it, it was run in a time only 1 second quicker than the juvenile race. So given what happened in the juvenile race at the last, and with Cerberus sort of halting the momentum, and the fact that Asterion Falange was only able to run a second quicker, you'd hope if he was going to be a real genuine supreme hurdle contender, he'd be running that sort of, you know, that 2 mile race a little bit quicker. So for me, it he could well improve again without a shadow of a doubt, because he's very lightly raced and he could well take another giant leap forward. But it didn't scream to me that I want to back him for the Supreme. Now, in that sort of context as well, the same owner has Shishkin with Nicky Henderson, who is the current Supreme hurdle favourite, novice hurdle favourite. So which way they, if they try and separate them, if they don't, I wasn't compelled to have a bet on him for the Supreme or anything else in the Supreme on the back of that. It was a nice performance in its own right, but that's where I'm sort of happy to leave it at the minute.
Let's talk about the machine then. 3 o'clock, the Phlogas Novices Chase. 13-8 favourite, Falkeen held off the field. It was it was a brilliant performance. It had the race won, it had the race lost. It looked beat, it looked like it couldn't be beat.
Yeah.
Eventually got up in front. Just talk us through, maybe not so much the race, but your emotions watching the race and seeing Falkeen return in this manner.
Well, there are some very high-quality horses that were in opposition against him, and Battle Over Doyen is one of the nicest, you know, young staying chasers that we have around. But I just found myself just watching Falkeen and just willing him to jump
every
fence.
You weren't the only one.
It was amazing, just willing him to jump every fence fluently. I thought he was cannily ridden by Paul Townend. He didn't want to take on Battle Over Doyen. He sort of left him away, and they raced on separate parts of the track. And I think he felt that he wanted to... as they swung into the straight and out of the side of the course at Falkeen, I think he wanted to sort of allow Falkeen to show a bit of a turn of foot at that stage, which he hoped would get Battle Over Doyen out of his comfort zone, which it very much did. Now, Battle Over Doyen faded quite markedly and eventually came down, so whether he's absolutely run his race, I'm not entirely sure. Fingers crossed again that he pulls out okay in the morning. But that said, you know, Falkeen has won two grade one novice chases now, one beating Sam Crow, where it was a completely different style of race. He absolutely was really forcefully ridden at Limerick when he beat Sam Crow and almost broke Sam Crow's heart, really, in that respect. Whereas today it was more, I mean, he just showcased his talents more. He jumped and travelled okay, but then actually showed a turn of foot which got himself into the lead just before the second last, really, and into the straight. So it just exhibited amazing qualities in a racehorse, you know, irrespective of what age he is. So when you counter in that he's a 12-year-old,
I know,
what he's done, staggering. His history, the injuries he's had, etc. It's just an amazing story, and you have to factor him into your calculations now for Cheltenham. You know, we shouldn't really talk about Cheltenham, as you said, this should be about him and this.
For all it's worth, we put him in the Marsh Novices Hurdle at 5-1.
Yeah, which is absolutely right. He should be favourite for that, in my estimation. You know, if he was an 8-year-old, then he'd be a lot shorter favourite.
Probably, yeah.
And he's lightly raced for a 12-year-old. I mean, he's only had 24 career starts, which is about the average number for, you'd think, a 7, 8, 9-year-old. Yeah. So, yeah, to all intents and purposes, he probably feels he is that age. He's certainly running like he's that age.
Definitely.
He deserves to be favourite, if not a little bit shorter, for that race, to my eye.
Could Falkeen be a little bit of value then at 5-1 for the Marsh Hurdle? Finally, we're recording this actually just after the Irish Gold Cup has come to its conclusion. An Irish Gold Cup won by Delta Work. Another toing and froing type finish to a race where it looked like at any point one of three, Ken Boyne and Presenting Percy, were all there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
In the end, Delta Work got through the middle of the pair and went on for the win. But again, so much to take, especially from the final few strides of that race.
Definitely. Yeah, fascinating race, really. Ken Boyne, he looked like he was a live chance to improve quite markedly from his Christmas run, where he was beaten into fourth behind Delta Work, of course, in the Savills Chase there. And he had about, I think it was 3 or 4 lengths to make up on Delta Work, which I thought he probably would, given the way that Willie Mullins' horses seem to have been improving for the run. Now, all credit to Gordon Elliott, he's probably improved Delta Work again. And it was a bit of a stop-start gallop to it. It wasn't an end-to-end proper staying test at 3 miles. In the end, the the cream rose to the top in the case of Delta Work, Kemboy and presenting Percy. And I don't think there could be any hard luck stories, really, because Kemboy was... He just wasn't that fluent, really, at some of his fences. So, you know, that's probably put pay to his chances in the end. I think it's testament to the ability that he has that he was able to then race with them in the straight, because he made three or four, you know, pretty uncharacteristic leaps on the way round. So Delta Work has confirmed the form. He's a live Gold Cup contender for sure.
Well, off the back of the race, we very immediately made Delta Work joint favourite for the Gold Cup. In the moment since, it has now been edged back out. Currently sitting at 5-1. Album Photo 9-2. Santini 5-1. Delta Work 5-1. Kemboy has been nudged out to 7-1.
Yeah, I think that's probably about right, really. Presenting Percy, not quite sure fully what to make of that, because he travelled up like he... was just going to saunter away.
Yeah, he did. He looked effortless at times.
He did. And at the top of the straight, it was a case of how far is he going to win by. You know, with him, I wonder whether... maybe that's how good he is. I don't know. But there's just a little thing in the back of my mind that makes me think, well, it's probably all about one day for him. And that day will be the second Friday in March. You know, given how restricted a campaign they had with him to try and get him to last year's Cheltenham Gold Cup, the fact he's now put three runs together in Grade One company over fences before going to the Gold Cup, they're going to be a bit more confident of his soundness and his ability level. And if they felt that maybe he could have squeezed out a little bit more in terms of fitness, then he puts himself in the mix, I think, as well. But you would just like to have seen a little bit more from him in the closing stages to be confident that he would see out the 3 miles two of a Gold Cup. So yeah, I mean, the market for the Gold Cup is probably absolutely about right, really. Album Photo, last year's winner, just favourite from Santini and Delta Work, who have won probably the two main trials so far this year. I mean, the King George obviously is a trial for it, but it's such a different race that I don't know if it's always absolutely suitable. So but again, another fascinating Grade One race. There are a whole plethora of them over the weekend.
It has been. I've asked this question of a few of our pundits on Big Saturday, so I'm going to fire it your way as well. If I gave you one mythical of William Hill's pounds and said you've got to back one of the four Grade One winners to go on to the festival and win again, with the idea that you've got to try and make as much money as possible off William Hill's £1,
okay,
where are you spending your pound?
Okay, so one of the four Grade One winners.
One of the four
today.
Grade winners, A Wave of the Sea, Astor and Falange, Fohin or Delta Work?
Oh, well, it's either Fohin or Delta Work.
Okay.
I'll discount the other two straight away. I'd go Fohin in the Marsh Novices Chase. That would be the way I go with the mythical pound. If he turns up in the RSA, can I get the pound back, though?
Yes, non-run and no bet is fine.
Yeah, perfect.
Yes,
yeah.
We'll give you non-run and no bet. That's
thank
fine.
You.
Not a problem at all. That is today kind of wrapped up then. Another brilliant Sunday of action off the back of another brilliant Saturday of action too. Monday isn't quite of the same calibre, let's say.
That's one way of putting it.
That's being polite. We do have racing at Carlisle and Wolverhampton. Unfortunately, Fontmell has already fallen foul to the weather. We give our pundits free rein to pick a couple of races for tomorrow to preview. And Will, let's pick two at Carlisle. We'll start with a 220.
Yep.
220 is the Introducing Racing TV Novices Handicap Chase, Class 4 race, 3 miles, half a furlong ahead of the 10 runners. We do have betting for this, and it looks fairly competitive. Ballybreen 100-30, as is My Milan. Cudgel is 9-2, 13-2 for Guitarca Street. Hard Knock 7-1, Asking for Answers 8-1, 10-1 Bar. Trimmer's Lane, Son of Fayan, Real Armani, and K.O. Kenny. K.O. Kenny, incidentally, 50-1, huge outside price. Which one, which two, which many would you like to talk about?
The main one I'd like to talk about is My Milan for Sandy Thompson and Ryan Mannier, who are having a really good time with things, actually, since Christmas time. They've got a really good... strike rate with their runners, and most of Sandy Thompson's horses seem to really be running to form. So he's won around the track, where he won a 2 mile novice handicap chase back in mid-December, beating a couple of horses that have come out and run well and won similar 2 mile novice handicap chases since then. So the fact that he won that, I thought was interesting, because they then pitched him up to 3 miles, or just shy of 3 miles, next time at Kelso, in what was a real stamina test. He was sent off 6-4 favourite in that, and travelled through the race like much the best horse, and just got outstayed. It was a real slow motion slog in the closing stages there, which really suited the winner King's Eclipse on that particular occasion. Now that was a 0 to 105 class 4 handicap race. There were four horses in there rated 100 or more, and My Milan on 95. Now you consider this race, it is a class 4 0 to 105, but you look at the ratings of all the horses in there, you've got My Milan on 99, and then the next highest rated is 89. So in a sense it's the same class of race, but actually when you think about it, it's a huge class drop for him.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anything in here that scream as if they're sharply on the rise. Obviously Ballybreen has put together two wins and comes into this in decent form, but My Milan I think will find this a fair bit easier than he found the Kelso race last time out. So the way the race sets up, as I say, because of the nature of how the horses in against him are rated, I think it sets up really nicely for him, and he's won round the track before. I think he stays the trip well, and I think he can outclass them.
Ryan Marnier, Sandy Thompson teaming up for My Milan, currently in the betting at 130, joint favourite with the hat-trick seeking Ballybreen. That's the 220. We'll scooch forward a couple of hours to the 430 at Carlisle for the second race. 2 miles and 1 furlong is a handicap hurdle. It's a qualifier for the Challenger 2 mile hurdle series final, class 4 4-year-olds 0 to 120 race. Again, we do have betting available via williamhill.com and on the app. Expo Universal 3 to 1 market leader. Winds of Fire 7 to 2. It's then a jump in the betting to 7 to 1 for Wenger de Guy. Aristo Duplessis is 8 to 1, as is Sleepy Heaven, 17 to 2 for both Let's Sway and Romeo Brown. It's then 12 to 1 and bigger the rest. Get Help, Curramore, Mint Gold, Craig Star, Not What I Am, again another big priced outsider, 50 to 1. You've got a 12 to pick from here.
Yeah, interesting little race, really. It's obviously the qualifier, as you say, for the Challenger 2 mile hurdle series, which is notable in its own right, because a few of these will probably be running just to qualify for that particular final of of the race.
Yeah.
But it's a horse who won last time out, Expo Universal, who won at Sedgefield in really impressive fashion. As I say, last time out, off a mark of 109. Now, the handicapper will get to reassess him on Tuesday. So in the meantime, he obviously gets to race here off that mark, but with a £7 extra penalty.
Yes.
Now, you'd be hard-pushed to suggest that if you're the handicapper, you're not going to give him more than £7 of improvement in terms of his handicap mark. So I think they're trying to strike while the iron's hot in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
He has won around the course and distance before as well. He won a very valuable race back in December of 2018 here, which was the Northern Lights 2 mile final. Won 22 grand for his troubles on that particular occasion, so we know he likes it here. He has won back to back before, because after that race he won a week later at Kelso under a penalty, so he's trying to do the same thing again back at a course we know he likes. So Rebecca Menzies has her horses in great form as well, and he looks like a very much a horse that once he hits a bit of form, he sort of continues on with that theme, really, and he's very much one to be followed while he is in form. Whereas a few of the others, you know, they don't strike as if they're in the greatest of form. The one danger would potentially be Evan Williams' Winds of Fire, I thought, who is he's only had 2 hurdle starts, but obviously qualifies for a mark, as he was placed in both of those races. It was quite a highly rated flat performer, rated in the high 80s when with Charlie Appleby. But he did his winning on the flat in cheek pieces and had raced in blinkers on the flat. Now, they haven't turned to any form of headgear as yet, so I just wonder whether they're finding their way with him. And then when they turn to headgear, that might be the time to catch him. So for tomorrow's assignment at Carlisle Expo Universal, to win back-to-back for the second time in a couple of seasons.
Expo Universal ticking a lot of boxes for Will Smith. You can stay tuned with William Hill Racing Radio for all the racing at Carlisle and Wolverhampton tomorrow on air just before the first race at Carlisle, which I think is about 1:50 p.m. Darren Owen, Gareth Topham and Lord John Budden is back as well. And if you are out and about and want to log in to William Hill's Betting TV, all the racing at Wolverhampton is completely free to air tomorrow. Will, thank you so much for joining us on
Cheers.
The podcast. Thank you.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.